And you might think to yourself, oh, I could buy one of Chris Evans' 1963 Ferraris for a snip at £12 million. Or maybe a house. Parkhead Hall is the most expensive house on the market in Sheffield at the moment at £7 million. Maybe that would be what you go for. Or food. Maybe you like food and you'd head along to one of Sheffield's Michelin-starred restaurant. You'd eat there every night for a year at £70,000. Or maybe clothes. Maybe clothes are your thing. And you'd head down to the club shop at Sheffield United and you'd buy the entire kit in the end-of-season sale for £25. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if you had all that money and you could give up work? You wouldn't have anything to worry about. You could just sit back and enjoy life. But Jesus once told a story about a man who was rich. He said this: there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, I guess most of us know which of these two characters we would prefer to be. Okay, we know, yeah, money doesn't buy us everything. But that being said, most of us would probably want more of it. £108 million might be ridiculous. I mean, we've probably seen enough Channel 5 documentaries to see that kind of money doesn't buy us happiness and probably actually makes life worse for us in many respects. We don't necessarily want to be mega rich. But I guess for all of us, we all have that desire to have enough. Enough money to not have to worry about things. So if there's a problem, then you just get out your credit card and you pay it off. Your car breaks down. Well, I'll stick it on the credit card. Gas prices go up or something. It's all right. We can put the heating up because we've got enough money for it. Money brings us security and stability. And we worry when we haven't got money. I was reading recently that money worry is the top cause of personal stress and relationship breakdown. Up until 2008, the divorce rate had been gradually declining. And then in the midst of an economic crisis, suddenly there was a massive increase as a result of financial stresses. You see, money is one of those things which is really good to have. It brings independence. It means we don't have to rely on anyone but ourselves. We can avoid humbling ourselves or being humiliated if we go to a bank and ask for a loan or go for a payday loan or anything like those things. We like to have that independence. We want enough for that. Isn't that reasonable? I think so. But Jesus goes on. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. You see, money can't make us independent of everything. No security system, no healthcare, no insurance policy can prevent the inevitable. Death has no respect for a bank balance, whether you live in the Cayman Islands or a cardboard box. Death comes to us all. And Jesus says just that. The poor man died, the rich man also died. But interesting in this story, which we're going to carry on now, that is where the similarity ends. The rich man died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus, the poor man, at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." You see, a great reversal has taken place. Whereas the rich man used to be in comfort and enjoy his life that his money brought him. He was now in anguish. The poor man acquainted with anguish was now comforted. And the question is, why? Why is it that Jesus says it? Is it that somehow Jesus is indicating there's this afterlife with a karma that balances itself out? If you've had a good life, you're going to have a bad afterlife. If you had a bad life, you're going to have a good afterlife. That's what it kind of looks like it's saying, but I don't think Jesus is saying that. I don't think he's saying if you've been poor now, then you'll be in heaven, and if you've been rich now, then you'll be in hell. I don't think he's saying that. Because then our future depends on our bank balances. And I don't think God is arbitrary or unfair in that way. Why disqualify somebody from heaven for eternity just because they've had a big house or a flashy car? God isn't like that. Listen to how the story goes on. Rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They've got Moses, they've got the prophets. Let them listen to them." And he said, No, Father Abraham, if someone goes from the dead, then they will repent." Abraham said to him, "If they didn't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Now, the thing about money is that it's really good. It can buy us so many great things. But there is a danger in money. Money can blind us to so many things. You see, if we rely on money for our security, then do we control it, or does it control us? I want to draw out two dangers that Jesus suggests are the result of loving and relying on money. The first is that Jesus says that loving money can blind us to the plight of the poor. For the entirety of that rich man's life, he has had a poor man on his gate, longing to eat the scraps from his table. And what's he done about it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's not helped, he's not assisted, he's not even given the scraps from the bin. If we find ourselves craving money and the lifestyle that it brings, then we'll actually find that we'll keep hold of money. We won't be generous. And the crazy thing is, and I discovered this week, that actually, of those who give money to charity, the most generous people are the poorest. The bottom 10% of people give 3 times more in terms of what they spend than the richest 10%. If we're wealthy, and if we're rich, and if we love money, then we won't look out for the poor. We won't be generous. If we want to love the poor, we cannot love money. Secondly, though, the love of money can blind us to God. Because money becomes an alternative to God. I'll ask you a couple of questions. How would you feel if God wasn't there? Would it make a difference to you if God wasn't there? How would you feel if tomorrow you put your card in the hole in the wall and you discovered that there was nothing there? Which would make you worry more? You see, the thing is, I guess for many of us, that money is an alternative to God. We worry more about our money than we do about relating to God, because money becomes our saviour, our security, our identity, our everything. Jesus tells this story just after having said, "You cannot love money and God." But money will, as I've said, ultimately let us down. When death comes, our credit cards are useless. The Bible tells us that we will face judgment. And where we place our trust, whether in our money or whether in God himself, is vital for our eternal future. You see, because whilst money lets us down, in God we find a God who, in Jesus, is rich beyond all measure, yet gave up all his riches in order to come and serve people who are spiritually poor. Serve me and you by dying in a cross, and by rising to new life. You see, Jesus, in doing that, has proved that he will never let us down in the way that our finances will. But the rich man realizes it's too late, doesn't he? Throughout life, he's loved his money rather than loving God. He's followed a path away from God. And when death came, God said, okay, keep on going on that path away from me. God lets him continue, separated from the goodness of God, and he's not happy. So what does he do? It's too late for him. But he says, well, please go and warn others so that they don't make the same mistake. Send someone back from the dead to let my family know that they need to stop loving money. And this is a twist in the tale. Abraham said, well, even if someone comes back from the dead, they won't listen. Even if the last person that they've seen at a funeral, that they've been to their funeral, even if they saw them again, they wouldn't listen, because they haven't listened to the Bible. They haven't listened to God. They won't listen to someone who's been through death and come out the other side. They'll continue listening to their wallet, saying, I can pay my way through everything. So here's a series of questions just to finish with tonight. Does it make sense to think about life and death? Isn't it wise to be informed? Will you be prepared to listen to God? Will you listen to the warnings of Jesus? Is there anything stopping you from taking one of these little Gospels here, Luke's Gospels, and reading it? Is there time, is it time to invest your hope and your heart, not in one that perhaps will or definitely will let you down, but actually in finding out about one who will never let you down? We're going to spend a bit of time perhaps talking. I'm going to hand back to Tim, and then we've got some question and answers.